University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Education, Professor Diane Manica.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is afternoon, isn't it?
I guess it is. I'm not sure what time the show is on. But
somewhere it is.
Somewhere it's afternoon.
They don't put clocks in the room. It's sort of like we're in a casino. We're just gambling constantly until May. That's why spring break is so very, very important.
Yes.
For some reason, every year the students do not understand the gravity of how important we think spring break is. To them, it's also very palpable, but to us it's important too. And a man who has to wait another week, sadly, for not really spring break because it's still winter,
it's Professor Dave Chow. Pleasure to be here, as always.
How are things down at CCS?
Not too bad. No complaints. A little worried. It's always the critique after spring break that the students' work just suffers because everyone's goofing off at least a little bit. So I'm prepared.
True.
Lower expectations after spring break.
Nice.
I know better.
Professor Jason Roach, how are things going for you in communication studies?
Outstanding, thank you. My students just turned in their music video projects and they came out outstanding, excellent projects.
So what'd they have to do?
They just had to make a music video of their favorite song or a song. They got bonus points if they did a local UDM artist.
Are they all Harlem Shuffle videos?
No, amazingly they are not.
Thank goodness.
They wanted to do one with our class and they wanted me to be in it. So
how
I
about
said no.
Gangnam Style? Do you have any of those?
Not this year.
Thank goodness.
Oh my, yes. Okay, well... Professor Jim Tubbs, it sounds like you have an interest in the area of popular music.
No, I wouldn't say so.
And where it intersects with religious studies.
He just stars in them.
Although, two of us are going to see Rent tomorrow.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Rent.
That's right.
I mean, not Rent, excuse
hair.
Me. Hair.
Hair.
Hair. Put him
unless
in some
you're
category.
Going somewhere different
nope.
than I am.
What is he hair?
He's
Good Morning you. Starshine. Yeah, we're going to hair.
Hair.
Okay,
where's
very good.
Playing? Are they playing
Fox? It's going to be fun.
That's right. I saw an advertisement in the Free Press.
The Age of Aquarius returns.
It's going to take us back to the 60s.
As long as
not
the 1860s.
As long as you
digging through the closet for my tie-dye.
Short visit.
Okay, short visit. Professor Dan Maggio, how are you doing these days?
Recovering from last show.
There's a difference.
I love you, Dan.
There's a difference between radius, diameter, and circumference.
I'm aware of that, yes.
Okay.
I'm doing fine.
That's wonderful. Any new restaurants in your wheelhouse, Dan? Tell me the last fun place you went to.
No.
Have you been to Social yet?
No. Where's that?
Wonderful. Wonderful. I usually don't go into Birmingham because it gives me a little bit of a rash.
No.
My wife dragged me to Social for date night, and it's pretty incredible. I mean, for the record, because I think everybody will also get a charge out of this, it's basically very high class, $3 or $4 signs, you know, comfort food. So if you're going in there for your non-grilled cheese and you're willing to pay $15 for it, that's good. But the bill comes and she goes, did you enjoy your alcoholic root beer float? And they had just convinced me, like, this is our new drink tonight, and it sounded so good, and it was wonderful, root beer liqueur. And I said, yes, it was delicious. And for the record, it was not like you would expect a root beer to come. It was more kind of like in a double-sized shot glass. She goes, did you enjoy it to the tune of $12.50? And I said, no. However, it was delicious, and I think you'll enjoy the place. It's a wonderful atmosphere. It really is.
So a real funny, to me, it was funny story. I was reading The Patch this morning, which I never do, for Royal Oak, and it had top five Italian restaurants in Royal Oak. And I thought, what a dumb survey, because it
was only five.
So the number one restaurant was Pizza Biga. It's a pizza place, not Italian. And then Pasquale's was on there.
Now, if you like less expensive comfort food, beans and cornbread and stuff.
Wonderful. So if you go just once
healthy,
in a while to Social,
soul food.
It's wonderful.
Right, thank
but,
you for the tip.
Yeah,
I'll try to pass it.
Where's that one?
Probably the most interesting place I've eaten was Mercury Bar and Grill.
Oh, Mercury. Good burgers.
Mercury.
Oh, yeah. Mercury's good.
Do you remember where the Mercury fish and chips carryout was originally?
Yeah.
Was it?
I was on McNichols.
Would you have to be born and raised here to know
that?
Before that.
What was that one?
My mom used to stop on the way home from work. She used to work here. on McNichols and was it Schaefer?
Hey, it's a Friday in Lent, so let's bring on the fish and chips, right, hey, Professor Chuck Hokit?
Yeah, I went to the fish and chips luncheon that the university had back. It was St. What did they do that? That was the luncheon they had last tonight. Okay. They do the dinners.
Right, right. They do the church tour.
Yeah, they're doing the St. Jude's.
That's very, very cool. Oh, very cool.
I'm gonna go to A&W. I think A&W might have that shot of.
Yeah.
Not for that price.
you have to bring your own.
Yeah. Mama bear.
It's a lot less expensive too.
I bet. Yeah.
Just bring a paper bag
to it. I bet.
Like I said, frosty double sized shot glass. Maybe, you know, I had to drink it with a straw. I went back, actually, the end of the joke is I went back and ate all the ice cubes. I'm like, oh, no, you're not getting ice cubes. Not letting that one slip by.
For that price, yeah.
This is a program, folks, where you can send us questions regarding anything. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 if anybody still does that. And you can send the profs questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We have some questions here from UDM student Ariel Katsimpolis. She's currently in my Organic 2 lecture.
Nice.
And they're all about popular music of the time of right now. For instance, who is the artist of the pop song, the biggest pop song of last summer, Call Me Maybe?
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Carly Rae Jepsen is correct.
Are you at some level ashamed that you know the answer to that question?
No, because they were playing that in the gym this morning, and I was thinking, who is this? Is it Carly J. Repson? And I'm like, no,
that.
Carly Rae Jepsen. So I thought of it. It was still in my mind.
Not just that.
You can never get that song out of your mind.
But we will be able to put another notch in for the Yanks because our Canadian ringer did not jump in with the Canadian knowledge, and she is Canadian.
Right. That's right.
Sorry. Wow. Sorry. Uh-oh. There goes my green card.
Oh, my. What Disney star did Justin Bieber date for a short while?
Annette Funicello.
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Britney Spears.
Short black hair.
Not Britney Spears. She has black hair.
Demi Lovato.
Hillary
Duff.
One of her contemporaries.
Hillary Duff.
Not Hillary Duff, but one of her contemporaries.
That's So Raven.
Aguilera.
No, it was
iCarly.
S-G. Selena Gomez.
Yes, it's
her.
That's
right.
Okay, gotcha.
I didn't realize she was a Disney star.
Who didn't he date?
This is part of the thing. And speaking of who didn't she date, what is the name of Taylor Swift's newest album? She's being accused of dating people just to break up with them and have good fodder for songs, basically.
Red.
This is what I understood. Red. How could you escape it?
Exactly.
It's both on the cover of every Target circular and every Papa John's pizza box.
I knew it was a pizza thing. I didn't remember which brand.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Mm. Who is famous for singing the song One Time? Someone we've already mentioned here.
Britney
Spears?
Not Britney Spears. A little more
That's
recent
one
than
more
that.
Time.
How can you get more recent than Britney Spears?
Initials JB.
Justin Bieber?
The Biebs.
Bieberhead?
Justin Bieber, absolutely.
Your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
not really.
Ariel asks, with air quotes, who sang the national anthem at President Obama's inauguration, January 2013?
Beyonce.
Yes. Beyonce. Yes, absolutely.
She did
not
sing it. She just sang it before the inauguration.
She sang it and recorded it. And
it sounded good.
Yeah.
Heck, if I had to sing with the Marine band that I couldn't see and they were 20 feet below me, I'd do something like that, too.
I'm thinking back to the first Obama inauguration, Yo-Yo Ma. You can't play a cello in -20
yes.
or whatever. Or rather, it's just very hard.
So, so that was just staged?
You wouldn't
that
like the sound it makes in 20-degree weather.
That's also true.
Caterwauling.
Did Aretha sing then that day?
Yeah, she did.
She actually did.
She's the one that's defended Beyonce for that because she said it really was rough to try to do that.
Exactly. Well, her hat did half the work anyway. So
yeah, well, she was well shaded.
Interesting. who is the host of the TV show American Idol?
Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, Ryan Seacrest.
Seacrest out.
And who is the artist behind the first song ever on the internet to receive over 1 billion hits, Gangnam Style?
Psy.
Just
Psy?
Psy. Yeah. P-S-Y.
The artist formerly known as Human Being. Yeah.
P-S-Y. Mm-hmm.
He's from Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is the artist of the pop song, I Knew You Were Trouble?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, absolutely.
And she did know it.
And she knew it anyway.
She learned it. You know?
She's still living it.
And last but not least, who's the artist of the pop song Diamonds?
Rihanna.
That's Rihanna. You have to go check out the internet. There is an absolutely hilarious parody of that song with Miguel Cabrera mouthing the words.
Yes. No, I can't
wait to get back to the diamonds.
It's hilarious.
I've heard of it. I just haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty disturbing.
I'm going to have to go watch it.
He reprises his role from MLB's Fan Cave as the telenovela star with the eye patch on from last year, which is also extremely amusing. Extremely amusing. I'm not sure if this is kosher, but we'll go for it anyway. My student, Adam Smeagol, who has talked to me multiple times about what it's like to have the same last name as Gollum from Lord of the Rings, gives us trivia about the University of Michigan Wolverines athletic program.
Can we even say that?
I suppose we can. They're our neighbors. We should be nice.
We're not in the same league.
Yes.
Figuratively or literally?
Literally.
And figuratively.
I'm not saying anything about their art school, so I'm okay.
When was the last time the U of M men's basketball team was ranked number one before 2013?
Oh.
1913? Season, year of the season?
92.
92, 93.
Oh,
the Fab Five.
Right,
exactly.
Five.
Since January 2013, that's right. How many national championships does the Michigan football program have?
Three.
More. It's actually one order of magnitude greater, but only a little.
11.
It's 11, exactly. 11
there's goes
national
to 11.
Championships. Mm-hmm. How many wins does the U of M football team have for all time? Most in the NCAA. Think about playing all the way back to the 1900s. Football.
983
is a little high. It's 903 wins that they
have.
Did
I say 8?
983, I thought you said.
Only in diameter.
Did you not say that? You that hit it right on.
Yeah, no, I did.
That was the circumference of their wins. Oh,
just checking.
Wow. Who is the winningest U of M football coach of all time?
Schembechler.
Yeah, Bo Schembechler. Posthumously still sells Bo Merlot. I'm sure you've seen it at the store.
No, I have not.
No, it's okay.
Then look away.
I will pass on that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I get my Merlot elsewhere.
Right out of the brown bag.
The first Michigan football game that was a bowl, who did they beat in what bowl? Don't think too hard about this.
Rose Bowl?
It would have been the Rose Bowl, and who did they beat from the
USC?
Pack?
USC.
Wasn't USC.
Washington. UCLA.
Yeah.
Nope.
Stanford.
Stanford.
Oh, okay.
The Cardinal of Stanford and their dancing tree. What is the listed online capacity of the big house?
110,500.
107,501.
Yeah, but
should be
102. But isn't that one of those little fake things where they just like repaint the lines and the
seats?
Well,
it depends. Since you're sitting cheek to cheek in there, you know,
literally,
it depends on how many people they can cram in there. If they find a bunch of skinny people.
Yes. You know, my students have taught me, and Urban Dictionary has confirmed, UrbanDictionary.com, that there would be a lot of what they call
the source
moon landings in Michigan City, which is when two people's butts touch each other.
Oh yeah, that's a given on those benches.
And to bring us back to reality, I will always take every chance to mention this, and this will allow us to reclaim a little bit of our dignity here. If Ike McKinnon was here, he would remind us that when Bob Callahan was athletic director, the nickname of the place where our team played was the Big House.
That's right.
And they stole it.
They stole it.
They did.
U of D. Yes, they did.
Well, Diane, why didn't you do something about that?
I was a little too quiet.
Oh, I think you were.
Then what happened?
I think you were.
Shh.
Why has there always been a one at the end of the listed capacity for Michigan Stadium?
Because they leave one seat open for a particular individual.
Yes, they do. Do you remember who that was? Their first football coach. Who was it?
I have no idea.
Fielding H. Yost.
Mm.
Does he still come?
I believe he passed
the
away.
The ghost
in the
20s. Of Yost still shows up.
The ghost of Yost, yes. What is the record for attendance at any NCAA football game? For the record that, I can't tell you what the record is. I just asked you what the record is.
107,501.
No, doesn't it make perfect sense that in the very first night game at the Big House, 2011, against Notre Dame, with 107... 1,501 seats, they were able to cram in 114,804 people.
Does not surprise me one bit. Well, see, some people stay at the bar anyway. Yeah. You know, they don't need seats.
How in the world does the fire marshal let them get away with this?
They stack them. We'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Todd George is right from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Really glad. Very glad.
And on Kathy's right from the Department of History, also Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin.
Hi, Greg.
Please pass the cool whip. The cool whip.
The cool whip. Name the headsman who bungled Monmouth's execution.
Wow. Oh, really?
Ooh, Stephen the Clumsy. Nice.
One-arm friend.
That's it, really. No, was he a French swordsman?
No, he wasn't. Not like Anne Boleyn.
Okay,
no,
so they didn't shed such a
local hack. This was a man named Jack Ketch.
Well,
K-E-T-C-H.
Don't know him.
Name the artist who painted the Duke of Monmouth's post-decapitation portrait.
I've
got to see that in the National Portrait Gallery.
I have seen that.
It is in Gainsborough.
No, it's not.
Darn.
No. Or Constable.
Really, the Scarlet Stump. He had some really horrible names.
No, they sewed it back on so that a post-mortem painting could be done.
Well, it might have appeared in Hieronymus Bosch, but before
this
is
wearing
that
suspiciously wide ascot.
No, it's no one. It's okay. Sir Godfrey Kneller, K-N-E-L.
Oh, yeah, Kneller.
Oh, you know him.
You know that name?
Oh, yeah, Nervous Kneller.
Nervous Kneller.
Ever since he did that picture, he's had these bad dreams.
We are back, not recreating the moon landing, with a couple more questions from UDM student Adam Smeagol. What is the University of Michigan's record in football against Michigan State wins and losses?
Many to few.
Ish. Can you give me some numbers?
50 to 40.
It's 68 to 32. And once again, Dan lands almost spot on. Last but not least, almost spot on.
Thanks, Matt.
Once again, Dan, almost the right answer. How many bowl games has the University of Michigan football program participated in total?
94.
It's about half that. It's 42. They haven't gone to a bowl every season that they've been in existence. Just about half the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for some great questions.
My
what's the diameter of the big house?
How about the radius?
Hey, that was last week.
Forever remembered.
My. Well, we have some more questions from UDM students. Stephanie Norgard is also a student in my lecture this term. And these are kind of all over the joint, just the way we like them. When and where was the first electron microscope constructed?
Stanford University?
It was not Stanford. It was actually a Canadian university.
University of Toronto.
It was the University of Toronto, but let's go for decade here. When do you think the first?
1930s.
1932. Spot on, Professor. Spot on. The three most common magnifications on a compound microscope lens are?
10, 100, and 1,000?
10, 100, and something in between.
50?
It's 40, actually, usually.
Doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
but anyway, I'll trust you.
trust me based on what I got up here. Yeah. Who first came up with the oil immersion technique for viewing slides under a microscope? His name is attached to a lot of microscopic companies and microscopic companies.
Bausch.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the right
Blinky.
Track. Abbe was his last name. Abbe. Ernst Abbe. Hmm. Abbe refractometer is a very common style. And, of course, after that number of microscopic questions, the next question will test you in a different way. Who is married to Tim McGraw, the famous...
Faith Hill.
Country singer. Faith Hill, absolutely.
Ooh, Diane knows that one.
Here's one that I think she's throwing in because she knows I'm reading the questions. If a reaction has an atom economy of 25%, would you consider the reaction green?
No, purple.
Or low.
It was green after I switched to a color TV in the second season.
Anything below
an atom. I know what you just said.
Act actually.
At least Jason didn't pull a Coming to America.
We had a color TV that the perimeter was always green. Yeah.
No, anything below 50% atom economy is poor green chemistry. So, there's your.
What is green chemistry?
Green chemistry is a minimization of risk, toxicity, and waste.
Oh, I like to minimize toxicity and waste.
I'm sorry?
That is to be desired?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. Green is, I've challenged my students for the last few years. Tell me what the opposite of green is. The best answer I've heard is brown.
No, so we run some on the color reactions. Wheel is not brown.
Well, what is it then?
It's purple.
Okay, so purple reactions versus green reactions. Sounds good to me. What are, let me see if I can do this count right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22.
Wait a minute, didn't we have this with the high C question a while back?
Wava.
Wine punch.
That's right.
What are the 9 fruits of the Spirit?
Passion fruit?
Passion isn't one of the main apple. How about I get you guys?
I think I know this one.
Humility. Okay.
Professor Roach.
I'm gonna go with love.
Correct.
Joy.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes.
Patience.
Yes.
Kindness.
Yes. Perseverance.
Goodness.
Yes.
Faithfulness.
Yes.
Gentleness.
Yes.
And self-control.
Not only that, but gave them to me in the order on the sheet.
Oh, impressive.
Wait, where are these from again?
Galatians 5:22.
From our Bible memorizer.
Do you memorize the Bible?
Not all of it.
Not all of it.
Just
this guy knows Galatians better than any guy I know.
He's our Galatians ringer.
That's right. Ask me about the hockey team in Galatia.
Who's goalie?
Awesome. Methuselah.
Your knowledge of pop music in the Bible is astounding. Really?
Exactly.
Wow, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
you're a multi-talented fellow.
I'm no Dave
fellow.
Nantes, but I do have a good knowledge of pop music.
Oh, my gosh. Who was the actor who played Batman in the most recent Batman trilogy?
Adam West.
No. Oh. In the most recent trilogy.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, absolutely, Christian Bale. In what country was it first realized that pre-exposure to infections could have a positive effect?
Africa.
It wasn't to Africa.
Austria?
Did you say country or?
Turkey.
Country.
Country, England.
Essentially inoculation. It was not England.
France.
The idea that that was used in both England and the U.S. came from Turkey.
Mm. Okay. Well, what I've got here is that China, with regard to mild cases of smallpox, they saw that people were not going to get smallpox again if they already had a small case of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, a little microbiology thrown in there for kicks. You know, it's always good for fun.
We had a science professor in here,
you know,
other than our host.
They are very, very hard to come by. Okay, Colleen Doran, a student at the University of Detroit Mercy, sends us, it looks like we have 10 questions about teeth. What is the name of the term that means a fear of teeth?
Dentophobia.
close. Oh. Starts with the letter O, though.
Or
something.
Odontophobia?
Odontophobia.
Odontophobia.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, that's really the fear of doing something to your teeth, not the fear of the teeth itself.
How many teeth are normal for the primary dentition of humans? I'm guessing human adults is what she's referring
32?
To.
32 teeth?
It sounds about right. Yep, absolutely. And primary dentition is different than, I believe, our wisdom teeth and things like that. Ah, here's a good one. What material was floss originally made of when it came on the market?
Horsehair.
It wasn't horsehair.
That's a good answer, though.
The thing is, it was still attached to the horse.
Yeah.
That was a good
one. Cat gut.
Rosin.
No, it would have to be something plentiful.
Barbed wire.
It
was not made of metal.
Oh. It's like a vine.
It was
a
textile.
Like hemp?
No, it was not
cotton thread.
Hay.
Not cotton, not hay.
Wool?
It wasn't wool. Apparently, floss was a little expensive.
Linen?
Not linen.
Silk.
Silk is what it was made of.
That'd
and
be nice
remember
and
that silk is super strong, so it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Silk
you can use the same piece again.
And again.
We make a joke about using the hair coming out of a horse's butt, but we'll take what's coming out of a worm's butt and put that in our mouth. So, you know? And we'll call it one of the greatest in the history of the world. So. How long are people recommended to brush their teeth for one sitting?
2 minutes.
2 minutes is what the standard ADA says.
They lied to me.
Yes.
I've wasted
so many.
You have overbrushed. You have overbrushed.
Oh, my gosh. The hardest substance in the human body is also the outermost portion of a tooth.
Enamel.
Enamel is what it is called. Yes, absolutely.
Or if you ask my wife, my head.
We don't have to ask your wife to know that.
That's true.
But anyway.
The hardest substance in your body is your head?
Well, the enamel on your teeth is part of your head.
That's good. According to an old wives' tale, if a tooth gets knocked out, you should put it in something to preserve its roots.
Glass of water?
Not a glass of water, but...
Hello?
A nice Chianti.
Alcohol?
Think a little more preservative, but not alcohol.
Formaldehyde?
No.
We wouldn't have that much. Vinegar.
Something that's likely to be in most fridges.
Oil.
Most
milk.
Yeah, milk is a good choice.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll remember that one the next time I get into a battle with somebody.
There's fat myself.
Oh my gosh. There is a part of the arch of your mouth that is in a fixed position. I believe this refers to the top.
Uh-huh.
What is that called? What's the term?
Your palate?
Not the palate.
But the
something arch of your jaw. No idea. Starts with the letter M.
Mandible?
Mandible is what I would say. Okay. It says maxillary. Yeah. Maxillary arch. Let's see.
This is the mandible. This is the maxilla.
Okay.
Just make it down and top.
They can't hear you when you do that.
True or false? Putting a cap on your toothbrush prevents bacterial growth.
False.
Yeah, apparently that's false. I've never been
just
a capper
keeps
myself.
Keeps the lint and stuff from getting in when you're traveling.
Keeps the horse hair away.
That's right.
What were the first toothbrush bristles made out of?
Horse hair?
Silk.
It was animal hair. Is what it says here.
It was boar hair, wasn't it?
That would have been a really floppy toothbrush.
It would have to be kind of
soft toothbrushes.
Animal hair, I mean, there's a reason. Isn't horse hair still used for bows, instruments?
It's very
strong.
It can be.
Very, very strong stuff. Why do blue whales eat only the smallest shrimp and animals in the sea?
The baleen?
Yeah, they don't have teeth, basically. Yeah. They have something
they
different.
They filter it.
Yeah, they filter it, exactly. Those are some good questions, Colleen. We like our teeth.
We like our baleen, too.
Yeah, we do. I got some questions from a UDM student, David Brush, who just so happens also to be in my lecture this term. Let's see, I'm seeing some interesting
themes. So our listeners are figuring
here.
Out that you have horsewhipped your students.
Actually, I silk
threaten them with silk whips. Okay.
Classy.
In the 2006 film Casino Royale, starring Daniel Craig as James Bond, what country is Casino Royale in?
Was it Monaco?
The Bahamas?
It wasn't Monaco.
No, it was...
It's in the Caribbean, right?
No.
No.
It's a country that starts with the letter M.
Montenegro.
Montenegro.
It's Montenegro.
Montenegro.
Montenegro. Well done.
Oh, darn.
I'm taking a trip to Montenegro for spring break. Professor... Hokin.
Go Tigers. Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Have a great break.
Professor Tubbs.
Enjoy.
Professor Roach.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Manica.
Next time.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Prof is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.